Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
7.5 hours of sleep. Every human should be aiming for 7.5 hours of sleep per night.
Wow. I've seen certain people say they can operate on 4 to 5 hours, but that is not good advice, right?
Yeah, that's definitely not good advice. You're definitely running on adrenaline. And I mean, people always argue with me and they say, well, how come I feel fine? I say, well, come and see me when you're 60 and I'll see how fine you are.
Wherever you guys are watching this show, I would truly appreciate it if you follow or subscribe. It helps a lot with the algorithm. It helps us get bigger and better guests, and it helps us grow the team. Truly means a lot. Thank you guys for supporting, and here's the episode. All right, welcome back to the show, guys. I'm your host, as always, Sean Kelly. We are here with Luisa and Nicola today. How's it going?
It's going really well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Professional brain coach, right?
I mean, that's what they say. Neurophysiologist by trade, human performance coach.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how did you get into that?
I actually started off as a triathlete.
Okay.
Yeah. So three sports killed it, I guess, in Australia. I was racing for Australia and then obviously went and studied, did an undergraduate degree, realized at the age of 19 that I fell in love with the brain and everything about it. So I just dedicated my life to it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the brain really fascinates me and we're still learning so much about it, right?
We're still learning so much about it. I mean, my primary area of research is Alzheimer's disease and cognitive decline with a focus on resistance training.
Nice.
So that exercise goal.
So I actually took the 23andMe test.
Oh, nice.
And I had the Alzheimer's break.
Okay, so the APOE4 variant. Okay.
So is there any way, forget which one actually.
No, I mean like you just got one or do you have two copies?
Oh, one.
Okay, that's great.
One, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, the thing about that is that doesn't mean it is a death sentence. It doesn't mean that you are going to get Alzheimer's disease. It means that, you know, you raise your risk of getting it. But there's many different modifiable risk factors for preventing and delaying the onset.
Right. Yeah. So has there been any studies done on what can prevent it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I study and we can go into it.
Yeah, I'd love to.
So first and foremost, there are three genes associated with the disease, meaning that if you do have these, you will unfortunately get it. And it happens, you know, just like chromosomal disorders such as Huntington's disease. You know, if chromosome 4, if you have that, then you're definitely going to get Huntington's. You can't change it. And then with Alzheimer's, you've got presenilin 1, presenilin 2, and amyloid precursor protein. If you've got these, and we definitely know we can't prevent it. But the other ones that you've just mentioned, the A lipoprotein E4, and there's, you know, E1, E2, E3, and E4. The E4, we know, raises your risk. So there are many different things that you can do to prevent it. And I would definitely start off with exercise. There's so many different things, not smoking, keeping your lipids in place, in control, getting natural sunlight, exercising, sleeping well, having a nutritious diet, not getting diabetes, hopefully.
Yeah. I'm doing most of these, so that's good.
Yeah. And you're sleeping well?
Not as well as
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
I'd like, actually.
Yeah. And that's a real problem,
yeah.
I would say, because if you do already have that variant, then you want to do everything you can to lower the risk.
Right. I actually did see you on another show talking about the importance of a cooling pad.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the importance of a cooling pad. So we can explore sleep, if you will, because I think it's very underrated. We spend a third of our lives in sleep, and yet, unfortunately, many of us are living in this sleep-deprived state. They actually classify sleep deprivation as 6 hours or less.
Wow.
Yeah, I live in Manhattan in New York, and I would say that most people are walking around in a sleep-deprived state.
Wow, yeah. I used to, in high school and college, I used to sleep about 5-6 hours.
Yeah. And look, sleep is extremely fundamental. But I mean, look, when you're in college and when you're young, I always think that you've got a leeway, right? Your brain fully develops by around 25, and then it starts to atrophy at around age 30.
Wow, that's actually young.
Yeah, we were actually prehistorically, like evolutionarily, I should say, our brains were built for reproduction and survival.
Dang, yeah. I thought it was much later than 30. That's fascinating.
But look, it's a slow progression.
Got it.
Right? We can accelerate this through lifestyle habits, like, drinking can accelerate neuronal loss.
Mm-hmm.
Neurons are brain cells. We've got around 87 billion neurons in the human brain.
Yeah.
And when I say they begin to atrophy, they begin to decrease in cell size. Mm. It's just the natural brain aging process. If you see an MRI of an individual at the age of 30 and then an MRI of somebody at the age of 80, you will see a significant difference in the size. The 80-year-old will have a smaller brain and the 30-year-old will have a bigger brain. And then the space between like the skull, let's just say, and the brain, it would be thicker in the 80-year-old because it's smaller. It shrinks.
Wow.
So you can definitely accelerate this shrinking process.
Yeah.
But we'll go back to sleep. Sleep generally has four stages. Right? We've got stage one, where you're falling asleep. That's when your eyes are rolling in the back of your head. Stage two is light sleep. That's generally the thing that you're going to see on a sleep tracker. You've got a Whoop strap, an Oura ring, you'll see light sleep on there. Then we move into stage three, which is known as deep sleep, or more formally slow wave sleep. It's interesting because you see it on an EEG in a sleep lab, and you'll see these big delta waves, which would suggest you're in slow wave sleep. This, for you, and for most people, but you especially, is absolutely fundamental to your process. Because what happens in this stage is you activate this system called the glymphatic system, right? So you're in deep sleep, lymphatic system turns on, tiny little cells in your brain, glial cells, they shrink.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this fluid in your brain starts to wash through your brain. Okay, it's like a washing machine,
Wow.
per se. They wash out toxins. They wash out these toxic proteins that build up. One of the toxic proteins that builds up in the brain is amyloid beta.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease. So you want to be getting into deep sleep to wash these toxic proteins out of your system.
Interesting. So I should start tracking how much deep sleep I'm getting.
Definitely, if you can. And you should be aiming at least 7.5 hours of sleep. Every human should be aiming for 7.5 hours of sleep per night.
Wow. Yeah. I've seen certain people say they can operate on 4 to 5 hours, but that is not good advice, right?
Yeah, that's definitely not good advice. You're definitely running on adrenaline. And people always argue with me and they say, well, how come I feel fine? I say, well, come and see me when you're 60 and I'll see how fine you are.
So it starts taking a toll, basically.
Yeah. Look, it's like compound interest. Albert Einstein said that compound interest was like the eighth wonder of the world.
Mm.
It's the same in science. It's the same in medicine. Things compound. You lose, you have lack of sleep in your 20s.
Yeah.
You lose sleep in your 30s. It will compound.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And in terms of alcohol doing damage to the brain cells, is that permanent or can that be reversed?
It can't be reversed.
Really?
Yeah. What's interesting? Smokers, actually, if you are a smoker and you've been smoking a pack a day, you can cease smoking. And after 5 years of complete cessation from a cigarette, mm-hmm. you can go back to baseline.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting. I'm not promoting smoking by any chance. I think it's terrible. It's one of the risk factors of all-cause mortality. However, drinking is a whole different beast.
Mm.
Drinking, like, you know, part of the alcohol that is fit for human consumption is ethanol. Ethanol actually converts into acetaldehyde, and acetaldehyde is poison. It is actual poison.
Wow.
It will kill your cells.
Jeez.
It'll kill your cells in your body and in your brain. Where there's actually wonderful studies that have been coming out of, you know, from the UK Biobank that shows literal damage and thinning to the cortex of your brain, the gray matter and the white matter.
That's probably why you feel so terrible after drinking the next day.
Well, a hangover is a poison-induced state, so yeah.
Jeez, and it's such a promoted thing in high school and college to just drink.
Yeah, well, interestingly, alcohol also blocks sleep.
Mm.
So you think, you know, you go to sleep, right? You think, but alcohol, wine makes me tired. You're actually just sedating yourself. You know, it lowers the inhibition.
Yeah.
Makes you feel drowsy, knocks you out, but you're not actually getting into deep sleep and in REM sleep. So in turn, you're blocking these areas that are, you know, these stages that are extremely important for health.
Wow, that is scary. Yeah, I gave up drinking a few years ago. I'm pretty happy I did that now.
Yeah, good.
I've also seen you talk about the importance of blood pressure.
Yeah.
And maintaining good levels there, right?
Definitely. Blood pressure is extremely important. You know, generally looking at 120 over 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why it's super important. Hypertension is a risk factor for many of these diseases that we speak about. And we'll talk about Alzheimer's disease.
Are you interested in coming on the Digital Social Hour podcast as a guest? Well, click the application link below in the description of this video. We are always looking for cool stories, cool entrepreneurs to talk to about business and life. Click the application link below, and here's the episode, guys.
Sorry. Your brain is an extremely vascular rich organ, okay? Your brain has blood vessels, many of them. In fact, if you were to pull apart all of the blood vessels in the brain, it would span 400 miles.
Wow.
So it's extremely rich with these blood vessels. And there's many different types, okay? You've got big arteries, you've got veins, and you've got these tiny little ones called capillaries. They're one cell thick.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have muscles around their walls. They're tiny. They're the first things to go during hypertension. So when your blood pressure is high for a sustained period of time, you will get the breakdown of these tiny capillaries. And if you start killing off these little capillaries, you kill off blood flow to the brain. If you kill off blood flow to a certain area of the brain, you don't feed the neurons. So the neurons end up dying. So blood pressure and blood pressure control is extremely important.
Wow.
For the brain, yeah.
And do people typically have good blood pressure levels?
Well, it depends on how, depends really on how fit you are.
Yeah.
It depends on how healthy you are. It depends on how good you are at managing stress. We know things, anxiety can raise it, different pathologies can raise it, alcohol can raise it, poor diet can raise it, obesity can raise it.
So there's a lot of stuff that can raise it. Wow.
Yeah. And then you've got other risk factors such as atrial fibrillation, which is what my father actually had. And this is what ended up leading to his stroke, which was minor. But just getting this under control is extremely important. And you know what? It's so easy to measure. Your heart, measuring your blood pressure first thing in the morning is a really great way to start.
Oh, and you do it every day?
Yeah. Well, I don't personally. I mean, I do if I'm at home and but when I'm traveling, I don't. But a really great way, you know, as soon as you hit, let's just say 40 years old, go and buy one.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
On Amazon, they're pretty cheap. Get a notebook, put the date, and just track your measurement. And what you're looking for is, you're just looking for a trend and seeing, is it trending upwards? If it is, and it tends to go maybe to 130 over 90, maybe that's the time to intervene. And in fact, that is actually the time to intervene.
Interesting. Yeah. So 120 over 80 is optimal.
Correct, yeah.
What if you're below that?
No, that's fine too. Okay. Yeah. I mean, evidently you don't want to go too low, but yeah, that's fine.
Interesting. I've also seen you talk about EEG scans.
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
It's a brain scan, right?
Yeah, true. So, I mean, you're a physiologist. One of the primary tools that we use is an EEG.
Mm-hmm.
It's an electroencephalogram. So it's one of those caps that you put on your head, and there's many leads that come out of it.
Yeah.
And it's used to measure the electrical activity in the brain, like the brainwave activity. And normally you'd go and get one of these scans when you maybe had a seizure. Mm. You've got epilepsy. And I was using it to pick up on early onset Alzheimer's disease. I was doing everything. You know, I was looking at reaction time. I was looking at information processing speed. I was even measuring visual acuity using a brain scan. And I was picking up on areas of dysfunction. And I thought to myself, if we can pick up on areas of dysfunction in a Alzheimer's brain or a brain that has early onset Alzheimer's disease, surely we can pick up on, you know, different areas of dysfunction in people with healthy brains. So that's actually how I started working with some of my Wall Street executives.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I just started scanning their brains and figuring out, oh, look, you've got, you know, areas of dysfunction in the frontal lobe, arguably a very important, you know, lobe for an executive that houses all of our executive functions. So yeah, that's how it started.
That's exciting. I'm actually going to get a brain scan next year.
What type?
I don't know. I'm going to Dr. Amon's office.
Okay, that's a SPECT scan.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the difference there?
Well, to be completely honest, it's actually widely discredited, that type of brain scan. And I think mainly because you don't see this in clinical practice, you wouldn't see a SPECT scan. It's not on the same line as an MRI or an EEG or a CT. So I personally haven't used one.
Dang, I might have to reconsider this now.
Well, do you feel like you have ADHD? I think he focuses on that.
I do, actually.
Okay.
But I just wanted to see, I was interested because he was on Diary of a CEO and I saw his results and he had some, I don't know what he calls it, but some white space or something.
Okay.
Some head trauma, because I used to play sports.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if I had that mainly.
Yeah. And look, the best way to assess that, in my opinion, would be an MRA and an MRI. And then, I'm not really sure what the SPECT scan will come up with, but that's quite interesting. I know that they're colorful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I do think it's important to get these types of scans, to get blood tests, DNA tests, gene tests.
Look, honestly, I think everyone, you know, I get asked often, where should I start when it comes to my health?
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't getting a blood test, you get a new fresh batch of blood cells every 120 days.
Mm.
So you can arguably be getting your bloods done every 4 to 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Not many people are doing this.
No.
Okay. Not people aren't even getting like a thorough blood test once a year. But blood can tell you everything. It's like popping the hood of a car and going in as a mechanic and looking at everything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't lie. It's not anybody's opinion. It is there. It is facts. It's telling you the health of who you are today.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you know this. In the US, we've got this epidemic of low testosterone.
Yeah.
Right? Most men presenting, you know, this is a testosterone reading of 300 nanograms per deciliter or less.
Mm-hmm.
Testosterone deficient.
Yeah.
Quite scary, because testosterone is vitally important, especially for men.
Yeah. Under 300 is super low.
Yeah. And this is something that you can just go and get tested.
Yeah. What do you think is causing it to be so low these days?
So many things. Mm. You know, during that deep sleep phase, when you activate your lymphatic system, you're also getting the release of growth hormone. You're getting the release of testosterone as well.
Mm.
So if we're not getting into deep sleep, maybe that's lowering it. We know that endocrine disrupting chemicals, I'm drinking from a bottled water right now.
Right.
Some of these EDCs may leak into the water.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's scary, because a lot of people drink from plastic water bottles.
Correct. And there's, you know, environmental factors. a lack of proper training, lack of proper nutrition, lack of activities that make you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people get testosterone wrong thinking it's just this hormone that's involved in erections.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that it's actually involved in so much more. It's there primarily to make effort feel good. It's closely related to how energized and how focused you feel. There's many different ways to raise it naturally. You don't have to just turn to TRT.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, really focusing on these. I call them just Mother Nature's gifts, which is literally: are you sleeping well? In fact, there was a study that was done, and it was out of Israel,
mm-hmm.
where they took both men and women. They subjected them to 20 minutes of sunlight 3 times a week.
Mm.
Both naturally increased testosterone and estrogen.
Wow.
And that's just through sunlight alone.
Interesting. I didn't know sunlight increased testosterone.
Yeah. And you can see, you know, there's other different hormones involved in the process as well. Even having low vitamin D
mm-hmm.
can affect testosterone levels. Low DHEA, they call DHEA the youth hormone. Even being low in DHEA, which is a precursor to testosterone, can cause low testosterone.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's multifaceted. You don't have to turn to exogenous drugs first and foremost. You can be doing so much more. So I think with our modern society of being enclosed, you know, how long have you been in here in this studio today?
4 hours.
There you go. You're not getting sunlight.
I got some this morning, but yeah, I try to get 15 minutes every morning while I ground.
Yeah, I try and get 3 hours all day.
3 hours?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It's actually primarily the reason why I got a balcony in New York City. That's cool. I'm right in the heart of Manhattan, and I was like, I've got to have a balcony.
Wow, 3 hours. That's a lot.
I know.
Well, is there studies done on like the more you do, the better?
Well, not necessarily. Yes, the more you do, the better. To an extent, provided that it's safe.
Yeah.
But you do, you know, we weren't built to be indoors.
No.
We were built to be outdoors. Our eyes should be getting natural sunlight.
Mm.
And this is also for circadian purposes as well.
Yeah, you're supposed to do it when you get up, right?
First thing in the morning, set the circadian rhythm, turn the clocks on. But also just to help you sleep at night. The more sunlight you get during the day, the better you're going to sleep at night.
I do notice that. When I go to the beach, I am so tired
when
I get home.
You're exhausted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, completely exhausted. Whenever I'm on vacation, I want to sleep at like 5 p.m.
Yeah. And there's another thing. We're not getting outside enough. Vitamin D deficiency is extremely prevalent, especially in the United States. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm guessing maybe it's around 20 or 30.
I forget the level, but I was in the red and I had my testosterone was 552, which is
okay,
I guess.
Yeah. So again, vitamin D, it's interesting, right? Because we walk around thinking that vitamin D is a vitamin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it actually gets converted to a hormone. And it's actually involved in around 5% of the protein encoding genome. So it's really important. Imagine just walking around, right? And saying that, oh, I'm low in testosterone, whatever,
mm-hmm.
or I'm low in estrogen, it's whatever. But we don't take vitamin D as seriously because we don't know that, most people don't know that it's actually a hormone.
Right.
So
I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah. So it's, it gets converted into a hormone and it plays a huge role.
Yeah.
In so many of the processes of the body.
What other deficiencies are common that you're seeing in blood tests?
Definitely magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Magnesium is, you know, it sits at the chlorophyll molecule. Like, so you get magnesium naturally through leafy greens, right? Most people are not eating.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. But, you know, it's extremely important, especially for women. We know that 1 in 3 women over the age of 50 will experience an osteoporotic fracture.
Mm.
We know that even estrogen, obviously in postmenopausal women, they don't produce estrogen. So that has a risk factor for getting osteoporosis. I think magnesium is so important for that, especially that.
Yeah. So when you're coaching these top level CEOs, these pro athletes at the top of their space, what are some common issues you're seeing with them?
Well, drinking is one.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, I'm seeing everything. I'm getting the guy who comes to me at age 49 saying, you know, I'm not as sharp as what I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
My focus isn't there anymore. And once we do, you know, the battery of tests, we literally get like thousands of data points on somebody. We're doing everything from blood work. Mm-hmm. We're doing VO2 max testing. We're doing like everything physiologically to understand who they are. And we're doing a brain scan.
Wow.
Yeah. So we, and this is a hospital grade EEG that we're doing.
Man, so you're doing everything.
It's an FDA approved product. There is no controversy around what an EEG is. It's not like a SPECT scan.
Okay.
And we're looking at what's happening in their brain and their body. From there, we can then talk to them and put a protocol in place so they can just be getting a seat at the table. When you do a blood test, right, and you get these deficiencies. When you supplement, right, let's just say vitamin D deficiency and you've got a magnesium deficiency, we start getting you to supplement with these two things.
Yeah.
You're just plugging the holes. It doesn't mean that you are thriving and performing at your peak. That just means you've gotten a seat at the table. Most people in the United States are walking around thinking that they're high performing just because they are in the absence of disease. You know, just because they don't have cancer, cardiovascular disease, dementia, that they're high performing, but you're not. You should be thriving. Humans should be thriving. You should wake up excited, happy, energized, focused, high libido.
Yeah.
You should be. And if you aren't, something's off.
Wow.
So what I'm seeing is A, focus. Like, if your focus isn't off, what's the matter? Let's talk about it. It could be a testosterone deficiency. They just don't feel like they can decide anymore. They can't make good decisions. And by the way, I'm taking care of guys who are, have got around $300 million under asset.
Jeez, yes. That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. They've got teams that they've got to take care of. They've got wives. They've got kids. It's just so much to handle, right? How can you even think that you're performing at your peak? And, you know, you've, so like, yeah, we're getting guys who are like that. There were getting guys who are not exercising. Mm-hmm. We're putting exercise protocols in place for them. A myriad of issues.
Yeah. When it comes to exercising, is there amount of days per week you recommend on average?
Yeah. Well, everybody's different.
Yeah.
You know, we base it on whatever you're optimizing for, really. But generally speaking, in terms of, you know, the guidelines, so the physical activity guidelines state that you should be exercising aerobically for 150 minutes to 300 minutes per week. I would argue, and I'd argue against that. I think that we should be doing at least 300 minutes of vigorous physical activity a week.
5 hours.
Yeah. For many reasons. Brain health benefits, longevity benefits. Look, even going outside and walking and doing your 10,000 steps per day can help a lot. But if you really want to be performing at that high level, staving off these disease states, we have to get your exercise up. We have to be doing your vigorous physical activity. Moderate to vigorous physical activity per week, you should be strength training.
Okay.
At 80% of maximum, one repetition max, at least three times a week.
That's something I need to do more of. Do you count sauna as exercise?
No.
Oh, I need to step
sauna,
it up.
Yeah, sauna is sauna, ice baths. These are supplements or these are accessory items, I call them. They're not in the pyramid of human performance, which at NeuroAthletics is you've got exercise, sleep, and nutrition. If you aren't, if you are not optimizing for these three, then you're doing yourself a disservice. I don't care. You cannot ice bath your way out of a good diet, right? Yeah. Speaking of exercise, there was actually a great study done to show the effects of a specific protocol on testosterone. And you can raise testosterone levels by doing a 10 by 10. So 10 sets, 10 reps. And with a 2 minute rest in between.
Wow, just any exercise?
Yes, but granted, you have to keep hitting for every set. You have to be doing 80% of your one repetition max.
80%, got
it. So every set, you'll probably have to adjust the weight to hit that. But just doing that, I mean, it would be hard. But even that can raise testosterone levels.
Wow, that is fascinating. Yeah, there's so many natural ways of doing it and people are just injecting stuff in their like to raise it, you know? I mean, I even heard sauna can raise it.
Yeah, that's true. Again, I mean, again, these outside of exercise, sleep, sauna, ice bath are great.
Yeah.
One thing I don't agree with is red light panels. I did a post on this.
You're telling me this. I just joined an infrared sauna last week.
No. Infrared sauna is fine. I'm talking just specifically guys who are putting red light panels near their testicles in the hopes that it's going to increase testicular size.
Got it. Okay.
So definitely stupid. I think what's happening on Instagram right now, which you can probably agree, is that we're just getting this competitive, stupid drive. People are, who can be in the ice bath the longest?
Yeah.
Who can be in the sauna the longest and the hottest? It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. That's what social media does. And there's a lot of misinformation too. Yeah. Is there any myths in the health space that you see on social media a lot?
There's actually many. I think that there's many myths. There's many people. I don't think that people go out and necessarily saying bad things to hurt people.
Yeah.
I think maybe they're just misinformed, or maybe they're trying to sell a product that I don't think is necessarily deemed to be effective. For example, red light on your testicles. Red light therapy can be great.
Yeah.
And there's there's some preclinical data to show the effects of red light therapy on stroke patients, for example, and improving mitochondrial health. Do I think it outweighs sleep and exercise? No.
No, definitely not. Have you looked into urology at all? We just had someone last week come on and talk about it.
Are you going to talk about drinking drinking your pee?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew that. Oh God.
Have you looked into it?
No.
Okay.
Is this because of urine stem cells?
Yes.
Yeah. Haven't looked into it.
Okay.
Don't know anything about it. Don't know if this is a thing. Haven't heard of it.
Okay.
I probably would have, but I think there's better ways of dealing with that. Yeah.
That's cool. How do you stay on top of all the new studies, all the new information? Because there's so many different sources.
Yeah. I mean, I know how to critically appraise data. So something that we learn in clinical epidemiology, it's called, you learn how to assess data, if it's good, if it's not, what is a really great study that's been done.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly reading. I have a team as well. We're constantly deep in the weeds of what is real. And I also publish. I've got a really great systematic review article that is going to be published shortly.
Nice.
And I do this with a team of highly credited scientists and doctors. So
cool. What's that going to be about?
It's actually the effects of resistance training on cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, look, it turns out resistance training is, I would tell you, it is a pharmacy for your brain.
Mm.
When you perform weight training, for example, what you're doing is inside the cells of your muscles, you house these little proteins.
Mm-hmm.
They're called muscle-based proteins. They're myokines. These myokines literally live in your muscle cells. And when you contract these muscles, they get expelled into the bloodstream. When they go into the bloodstream, they go and connect to different receptors all over the organs. You've got receptors on your heart. You've got receptors in your brain. You've got receptors on your prostate.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a really great study that was printed in Cell that showed that these myokines actually go to the prostate and they inhibit tumor cell growth.
Really?
They're really looking at the effects. It's called the brain-body crosstalk, meaning how does the brain interplay with different organs in the body to stave off cancer and neurodegeneration.
Wow, that is so cool.
In terms of brain health, what it's doing is these myokines are going into the brain and they're going into a little area. They're going all over the brain and they're having positive effects.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're also going into a little area in the brain called the hippocampus. It's deep in the temporal lobes, just behind the ears, these seahorse-shaped structures, and they actually grow, okay? They help grow the hippocampus of the brain. Mm-hmm. So you're getting volume growth. This area is responsible for memory consolidation.
That is so cool. Is there a best time of day to perform these workouts, like morning or night?
Look, if you can just get it done, just because we're not robots, getting the exercise done first and foremost is the first thing that you should focus on, because adherence is the hardest thing.
Right.
So firstly, getting it done. Secondly, I would say furthest away from sleep as possible. And I actually, look, this is not my area. Nutrition's not my area. I know you had Lane on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, arguably if you're doing it in a fed state and you can lift heavier, then that's great.
I love that. Man, I never realized the importance of weightlifting. I got to start again.
I can't believe you're not.
I know. This is an eye-opener for me.
Arguably aerobic training as well. Yeah. Running is so, so great for your cardiovascular system. It's extremely amazing for your heart health, your circulatory system, your brain health.
Yeah. I do basketball twice a week, so that's good at least. But the weightlifting is something I need to incorporate.
I love that you do basketball because you're also taking into consideration like this neurocognitive aspect of training, yeah, where you're working with hand-eye coordination, reaction time, speed, visual system, visual acuity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun for sure. Now, as someone who studies brains, what is your take on the IQ system? Do you think that's an accurate way of measuring intelligence?
I don't think so. I think true intelligence, and this is also actually what I'm seeing on social media, you can remember something, right? You can read it, remember it, and just blurt it out on Instagram.
Yeah.
In a reel. But I think the true mark of somebody's intelligence is really knowing the back end of that. Right. Sure, you can say, hey guys, exercise is great for brain health. Why? And what are the mechanisms of action behind that? So if you can really explain that, I think that that's a true mark of intelligence. Look, an IQ test, maybe that's a...
Have you taken one?
Oh God, I took one in high school. I mean, I haven't taken one since.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I don't even remember. Yeah, I actually want to do one.
I want to do it just to see, but I don't feel like it's, like you said, like there's better ways of quantifying it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it takes into consideration everything, right?
Yeah.
Math. I mean, doesn't it do math, English?
I don't know. It's like 6 hours. That's the part I don't want to do. But
yeah, I don't think I want to sit through that.
Reminds me of the SATs.
Yeah.
Those were horrific growing up. Yeah. You probably took a ton of tests going to med school and everything.
I took a ton of tests. I did undergraduate degree and then my postgraduate, my master's. I took so many tests. Jeez. I was actually a mathematics teacher.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you were just bringing back all these memories of me writing tests. Yeah, I worked at a high school, an all boys high school.
And you had to write the test yourself?
Well, yeah. That's what we did back then before like ChatGPT. This is going back 10 years now.
Yeah.
I'd literally hand write tests and I used to be on a chalkboard and a whiteboard.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that old. I wouldn't say chalkboard. I was on the whiteboards. Yeah.
The sound of chalk gives me nightmares.
Yeah.
I caught the tail end of that first grade.
One of the other things that a lot of men are experiencing in their 40s for some reason, not a lot of men. I'm saying like what I'm seeing is a lot of guys are like, Louisa, my hair's falling out.
Hair loss.
Hair loss is a big thing. And it's also a confidence issue, right?
Mm.
What we know when it comes to hair loss is that what happens is testosterone gets converted to something called 5-alpha reductase, okay? And that produces DHT.
Mm-hmm.
And what DHT does is it binds to the hair follicles and it miniaturizes them.
Mm.
And so the more DHT you have, the more miniature these follicles get and eventually they stop producing hair. And so then they end up closing up and that's generally how you get hair loss.
Wow.
And there's many reasons why this happened. There's eight, like psychological stress is a huge one.
Yeah.
You know, even for me, I feel like, you know, I think 50% of people by the age of 50, I think that was a stat, will experience some sort of hair loss.
Dang, that's high.
Even for me, I used to have thicker hair when I was younger.
Yeah.
I guess living in New York City adds to the stress level.
Yeah.
Second to that, I've seen a lot of women actually have stress-induced alopecia, which is where they're just like losing little, like I would say like 50 cent piece loss of hair.
Yeah.
And then,
That's crazy. So is there a way to reverse that hair loss or no?
Well, I mean, it's not my area, but I know that there's like, there's treatments. I think it's called finasteride, which I think what that does is it inhibits DHT. So it can really help with hair loss. There's two that I think inhibit DHT. Then there's another form that that helps with blood flow to the scalp to help with hair loss.
Well, Louisa, it's been fun. Where can people find you and your coaching and everything?
You can go to Louisa Nicola on Instagram, or you can follow the Neuro Experience, which is my podcast.
Nice. We'll put it in the description. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for watching, guys. As always, we'll see you tomorrow.